In this episode of In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, we get a rare pleasure. Not very often will a player talk the morning after a night game. Very physical game. The next morning to have a player come and impart his knowledge and talk about the game, the ups and downs of the game and the physical nature of the game, the adjustments during the course of the game, the plays that he made during the game. Very rarely does that happen, but we're talking CJ Uzomah. CJ Uzomah is a class act. He is a high character individual. And CJ Uzomah visited with us, and you're gonna like what he had to say because it was a Bengals victory at the gun against the Jacksonville Jaguars, making a 3-1 start in the first four football games. First quarter of the season ends on a high note. Welcome to this episode of In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. We're in the beautiful First Star Logistics studio, and our special guest, CJ Uzomah, is down in the team meeting room at Paul Brown Stadium the day after the game, Thursday Night Football. And what a game for CJ Uzomah. Congratulations on the big win, and congratulations on a heck of a performance, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
So how's the body feel this morning after all that, all that physical activity in the wee hours of late night, early morning?
Yeah, it's definitely super sore. I always wake up the next day and you don't feel anything really during the game too much because you're in the heat of the moment. And obviously right afterwards, after you win, you don't feel anything. You're on the high of winning. And then the next day you wake up and you're just like, I played a full game yesterday. I feel some things that I didn't feel going to sleep. So, obviously, it would be exponentially worse if we had lost. And we didn't. So, I'm still feeling good.
Get that big smile going. So, in a normal situation like this, you guys have, after the victory, you get Friday, today, tomorrow, and Sunday off. But normally, what do you do right after a game? How do you get rid of the soreness? What, take us through like the CJ Uzomah week, you know, in terms of taking care of the body, recovery, getting ready for the next football game.
Well, actually, I walk my dog a lot. I like just moving. When I had my Achilles, one of the first things I did was get a dog when they said I could walk. And just being active and loosening up and being able to flush the body out a little bit. When I was younger, my rookie and second year, I just laid around the house and I was like, oh, if I lay around, my body will be fine, whatever. And I'd wake up, we'd have a hard practice. And I'd be like, why do I feel so bad? So as I've gotten older, I like to just move around a little bit. I'll come into the training room, come in here, get a little lift in with the guys. And just, it's something small, some activation things just to make sure that my body feels good. Because, you know, the longer you lay around, the worse it gets. You know, you wake up the next day and it's compounding and you're like, well, why do I not feel better? Well, I didn't do anything to help. So today will be a pretty active day for me in terms of walking my dog, which he's gonna love. And I'm not gonna love at first, but then tomorrow I should feel honestly close to 100%.
Quick bounce back. You still got that, you got youth on your side still, man. The thing that people don't realize, and you just mentioned it, Joe Burrow mentioned it after the football game. He said, you guys got to remember, CJ Uzomah is recovering from an Achilles tear. I mean, that's a major injury. And Joe Burrow, yourself, and Tyler Boyd got game balls after the football game last night. And you're giving yours, I understand, to Nick Cosgrave, who did some fine work for you. Talk about why you're doing that and talk about how tough the rehabilitation was after an Achilles injury.
Yeah, it was a lot of calf raises, and going into it, Nick was like, "Hey, I'm just gonna be honest with you. The first few weeks, a month and a half, 2 months, it's gonna be kind of rough, just because you can't really do a whole lot. And then once we're done with the band work and the calf raises and things like that, then it's gonna ramp up, and it's still not gonna be fun because you're gonna have to start doing things and getting used to walking normally, running, and things like that." And, right. You know, he was super patient with me. I wanted to kind of up the ante a lot more than I should have. And he had to kind of pull back the reins on me. And he's like, "Hey, look, you're not coming back this season. So let's just make sure we do this properly." And then the way that the staff handled it and the way that they helped me out, I mean, I'm immensely blessed to have them and I know that he had done Leon's and twice. His rehab, and I knew that Leon had come back and he was performing just as well, if not better, than before he had torn his. And yeah, it's just a token of my appreciation, something small that, you know, I was like, hey, like, I appreciate the work that you put in. You know, I'm the one that's getting, recognized right now, but you're the one that helped me through the process, and you were there with the grind and helping Joey Franchise out as well, and Trey. So, yeah, I felt like it was just a nice gesture for me to show my appreciation to him.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, Trey Hopkins and Joe Burrow, the battery, you know, snapping the football to the quarterback, and they touch it every snap, those two guys. And then yourself, I mean, that's remarkable. The three guys coming off a major surgery like that are all back performing at such a high level. You mentioned Leon Hall and cornerback. I mean, that's a lot of stopping, starting, changing direction. That's a lot of pressure, you know, you're putting on that Achilles. Same with you. You got to run routes. You're a big body guy getting in and out of cuts and all that. I mean, the fact that you guys are doing what you're doing after coming back from that type of an injury is a tribute to the surgeon, the rehabilitation person, the expert, and the patient. I mean, all three have to be performing at a very high level to have the results that you got, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I'll say too, I mean, the Achilles was an interesting injury. I mean, I've seen some basketball players do it. Obviously, like you said, Leon, who had done it, and the cutting and the mechanics of that were it was interesting, just the route running. And then as I'm running routes, I'm like, wait, I have to block people still. Like, I have to make sure that this thing is going to hold up against a 300 pounder. Yep. And I have to go down and C block or go out and I'm by myself. But I mean, also with the injury that Joe had, seeing him back there looking so comfortable, seeing him scramble, seeing the mobility that he has and the work that he put in. I mean, again, like, people don't see the work that he put in as well, right? Like, his as my rehab process was going down and winding down, his was ramping up. And so I got to see the good days, the bad days, the days where he, you know, he wasn't feeling great, but he pushed through and he was grinding. And that's why he's performing at the level that he's performing right now, is just because of the work that he put in with Nick and even before that. And his surgeon did a great job as well, and same with mine. So yeah, we grinded this offseason to be where we are right now.
Yeah, there's absolutely no question about it. I mean, you make a great point. I mean, I think the tight end position, I think you have to be as good an athlete as there is in the league to play tight end, because you have to be a receiver, you know, run routes, be able to get in and out of cuts, separation, all that sort of thing, and then catch the football. And then a lot of times you're the third tackle. If they don't have a third tackle in there, a big guy, you're the big guy that is at the end of the line of scrimmage and blocking the best athletes defensively. I think, you know, the defensive ends, outside backer, hybrid type guys in today's NFL are the best athletes out there. So, I mean, you guys have a playful, man, playing that tight end position on a game-by-game basis. It's not an easy task, and I think people don't realize how good a blocker you are as well. I mean, how did that feel in last night's game? I know you haven't probably have reviewed the game at least once, but how do you feel? Obviously, you made big play after big play in the passing game. How'd it go for you in the running game?
Yeah, I think as the game progressed, I mean, like you said, the defensive ends are freaks. You know, they're freak athletes, and you know, week in and week out, we're gonna play another freak athlete. And I mean, this week was no different. And I feel like my blocking was pretty solid, especially early in the game. As the game wound down a little bit, my technique dwindled, and I was trying to be a little more aggressive than I should have been. And I talked to Coach during the game. I'm like, oh, I'm being a little too aggressive. I gotta calm it down. But that came because I was amped up a little bit. I'm like, okay, nice. I want to attack this guy. I want to really get after him. And then I'm like, wait, hold on. I'm doing things I need to just. I just need to do what I was doing in the first three quarters. But
right.
You know, I think, you know, you said the tight end position is unique, and it really is. You know, I will live and die by Joe Burrow is the smartest person on the field at all times. And I think that the second smartest position and people on the field are Drew and I and Mitch, because I think that with what we have to do with the route combination, the blocking scheme, the things that we have to, the intricacies of the offense, I think really we're that next level. If Joe or if the play gets called incorrectly run wise, no one else is going to say anything. Formationally, no one else will say anything, but it affects us more than anybody else. So it's fun. It's a unique position. I love having Coach Casey. Joe's the smartest person on the field. Coach Casey is the smartest person in this building. I am convinced he watches more film than anybody else. It truly is. It's awesome getting to be coached by him as well.
Yeah, and having played in the National Football League, I mean, he knows exactly what you're experiencing, and he's not going to ask you to do something that's unrealistic. You know, it's like, that's a pipe dream. We're not going to be able to execute that. I mean, how important is a guy like that in the performance of the tight end group?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. You know, I've been unbelievably fortunate to have two great coaches in Coach Hayes and now Coach Casey, and you know, they taught me two different things, right? Like, they both played in the league, right? And Coach Casey now more recently, and you know, he knows the way the game is progressing, the things that we have to do against these freak athletes who, you know, we're going to see week in and week out, and then the route running, you know, the intricacies of the route running. He's like, man, I wish I would have known this playing against this player. And some of the guys he's played against, he's like, I played against this guy, he's so-and-so kind of player, he's going to do this. And just knowing that going into a game is huge. If you know, the more you know about your opponent, the more you know about what your defensive player is going to do, the more advantage you have, because the defense is, they're in a reactionary position at all times, and you want to keep them that way. So if that's the case, if we know what, you know, what their tendencies are, then that just helps us. And he does a great job of understanding and letting us know, hey, if we're in so-and-so personnel, so-and-so, you know, position on the field, if it's second down and manageable, this is what this guy's going to do. And I'm like, thank you. It just made my job easier.
That's a lot of tools he's putting in the tool belt for you, man. That's good stuff. I mean, that's what a relationship, coach player relationship should be like. But sounds like you guys, trust might not be a strong enough word, and that is a very strong word, but you guys have a great relationship, and it's always built on trust. And man, when the player trusts the coach and the coach trusts the player, some big things can happen. And I think that's what's going on with this football team. It just seems like the attitude and the intangibles and the trust and everything are just, man, they're sky high, aren't they?
Oh, 100%. You know, I keep preaching the culture of this team, and it really is something that has just progressed through the years of Coach Taylor and his you know, the whole staff being here, and the amount of trust that they put not only on each individual player. Obviously, they put a huge amount of trust on Joe to get right in and you know, make his checks, but each player, you know, he's like, okay, look, we're going to be in a position where CJ is going to catch a tunnel screen and, you know, in a critical situation. And we expect, and we know he's going to do that. And our teammates do the same. You know, I think another great example is we're going, you know, big 13 personnel, or, you know, we're going big personnel, and Isaiah is going in there and he is dominating defensive players, which we expect him to do because we trust him to put him in that position. And it's great. It really is. It makes playing the game that we love so much fun when we see everyone just out there just balling out, right? Like, you see Mitch come in, and I'm like, Mitch is in. Great, we got three tight ends right now. This should be a killer play. So it's made football, the game that we love, fun.
You know, you made a great point about Joe Burrow being so intelligent, and Joe, you know, he talked about how you know, I called it the Jill break screen. I think is that the play you referenced, the tunnel screen? Is that the one you talked about? Right. We used to call it Jill break or whatever. And, you know, Joe's like, all right, well, I know what the game plan is, but boy, there's a play in the playbook that is perfect here. It might not be in this week's game plan, but, well, you know, we're good with it. But then he has to feel you're good with it and you were good with it. So it doesn't do any good if Joe's the only one that's good with it. If everybody else is good with it, along with Joe, and Joe, you know, he starts the chain going, and everybody's like, yeah, man, this could be awesome. And then you guys execute like that. I mean, that's special stuff. So he looks out there and you know, he called it, and it had never been run to you before, correct? I mean, you were never in that personnel grouping. And what were you thinking when you looked at Joe and you're like, what was going through your mind?
I mean, I'm not kidding you. I legit – I see him give me the signal, and I'm like, okay, nice. I know what this is. And I'm like looking kind of, and I'm looking at TB and Trent because I'm like, wait. Like, they're just like, I see TB looking at me like, hey, like, he's giving the signal. I'm like, wait. Okay, wow, all right, this is awesome. Like, cool. Like, it is the play that you want, you know, when it's zero. But again, it's just something that I hadn't been in on. I'd been blocking most of the time or backside when we call it. And again, like you said, it's the trust. You know, we have to know all the signals. We have to know what every position is. And we had mentioned this, Tyler and I had mentioned this to you. Saying Tyler sounds weird, honestly. TB and I had mentioned this to you, but, you know, playing quarterback and being able to not, you know, hyper-focus on your position and what that one position is doing and being able to get a full grasp of the you know, the concept as a whole really helps in situations like that when you call something, you're like, okay, nice, like this is directed to me because it's zero, it's a zero look and I got to make something happen.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it in the post game in the locker room, and you played quarterback. You went to Auburn as a quarterback, played quarterback there initially. Tyler Boyd was a great high school quarterback in the Pittsburgh area. So you guys, it's not just tunnel vision. Okay, this is my assignment on this play, and I'm going to run this robotic route and not worry about anything. You guys see the whole big picture, and man, that stuff is really invaluable. But you know, when Joe Burrow. The touchdown that he threw to you. Let's go through your two touchdown passes. The first touchdown pass, when you catch the football and you make a great move, and then you slap the DB to the ground and you cut inside and score the touchdown. Take us through that whole dynamic. From start to finish when the play was called? What went through CJ Uzama's mind?
Oh, I knew I was going to get the ball, just because of the way that they had been playing the run and the sift and. Things like that, and I knew once I saw Josh come up the field, I knew he knew it was a pass, and he was not worried about me. He's worried about sacking the quarterback. So I knew I'd have a little bit of space, and yeah, Joe floated it to me. He was in a tough situation for sure with someone just running full speed, a freak athlete running full speed at him, and you know, he made a good play just to get the ball in my hands to begin with, and. Yeah, again, we have a little thing going on in the offense where, we don't want to get tackled by the deep guy. And, you know, that's something that one, if I get the ball in my hands, I want to make a play. You know, it's going to be, it's going to be what this is the first week that I've really been able to try to make something happen. And we have playmakers everywhere. So when I get the ball in my hands, I'm really trying to make sure that, I can make something happen. Once I sniff the end zone, I got to get in at that point. So yeah, that was kind of just the immediate thought that came into my mind.
Man, so yeah, Joe Burrow gets the ball out of his hand with Josh Allen closing in on him, and you score. I mean, that's an unbelievable play. Let's talk about your second touchdown reception where it was an improvisational. I mean, it wasn't exactly as drawn up on the board, and Joe extends and creates, and you had to make adjustments as well. Take us through the dynamics of that play. What it was originally supposed to do and what it morphed into.
Yeah. They kind of just overplayed the play that we were trying to have happen. You know, again, because we have so many playmakers, they have to account for TB, they have to account for Jamar, they have to, you know, have their eyes in different places and so once I kind of sat in the window that I was supposed to sit in, really I'm supposed to break out of that. But knowing that they overplayed with TB, and I saw that Joe saw it as well, there was a big void in the middle. So once I'm pretty sure it was Josh that dropped, ended up being the dropper. Once I got around him, I knew that there was going to be another special player who was Miles in that case.
Yep.
And once I passed him, I knew, again, there's eyes on Jamar. Everyone else is out of the picture right now because of the concept that was going on the front side where I was. And I saw Joe kind of point. He made a move to the right, rolled out left. And I mean, not many people know how hard it is rolling out to your left and throwing on the move to someone who's running to their left with a defender behind the intended receiver. And I mean, Joe, again, that's a testament to the work he's put in, because I mean, people forget he's elusive back there. He's got amazing pocket presence, amazing ability to extend plays. And that's another thing that we've been harping, especially in the tight end room, that, you know, when scramble drill happens, tight ends, we have to get the ball. Like that is our chance to get in phase with the quarterback and make something happen. And he threw a dot to me and I was able to turn up and score.
You guys were in perfect sync. Like you said, the movement, it was like almost like synchronized. I mean, with you guys, and like you talked about his mechanics to snap his shoulders around, square him up, you know, and throw it as accurately as he did. I mean, his mechanics and his flexibility, everything is just, he's like Gumby, man. The guy is, he's something else to watch. And then we talked about the alley screen, the jailbreak screen, whatever you want to call it. But that one also, Joe Cullen, the defensive coordinator, was with Baltimore, D-line coach for 5 years. Baltimore Ravens, whenever you get near the red zone, they're going to go zero, which, you know, there's no safety in the middle of the football field is what zero is. Nobody back there. And they had one deep a lot. I mean, that guy's like 15, 17 yards deep. I saw some cover two, and when they did that, you guys ran it really well with the safeties out of the box. But so there's no safeties, and you guys make that check. And there's like, once you broke, it's like, there's nobody coming here. So that was something that you guys obviously had worked on, knowing Joe Cullen's mindset coming from the Baltimore Ravens here with Jacksonville, that might be the case once again.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a short week, so it's tough to fully game plan, which again, I know you said, or you had mentioned, I don't know if Joe had said, you know, this wasn't really originally in the game plan, but you know, it's something that we know is a zero beater.
Right.
And you know, we know that when they show zero, they're not bluffing zero. Once we get close to the red zone on the fringe, in a critical situation, we knew from film study, from knowing who he is as a coordinator, that he's going to want a zero and try to bring pressure quickly and make the quarterback make a bad decision. And, you know, we had the smartest guy on the field out there, and you know, he was able to see that, adjust and make the appropriate check. But yeah, that just comes from film studying, knowing who you're going against and knowing what they like to do in certain situations.
Joe mentioned when I talked to him in the post game that, I said, what'd you guys talk about at halftime? He said, well, I basically said to Zach, look, let's spread the field. Let me go shotgun with five. I got matchups. I got matchups I know I can take advantage of. I know we can take advantage of. And, you know, struggle a little bit in the first half, obviously. Don't score any points. Go 1 for 5 on third down. In the second half, score every possession. Every third down basically is converted. Second down was kind of the tough down in the first half. You were facing second and long a lot. And that get you guys out of rhythm. Man, in the second half, whew, you guys were a juggernaut. 24 points scored on every drive. Every third down you're converting. I mean, that was just, I mean, night and day. How do you do that at halftime? A simple adjustment like that, and boom, it's totally different. It's like night and day watching the football team.
Yeah, I think we woke up. And I keep saying this because I do want to say, I mean, Jacksonville, they played well, and their record, they're gonna win some ball games.
Yep,
they're a really good team, and I think, you know, for us, we allowed them to dictate the game early. I think when we didn't get points off of our first drive and we were able to move the ball, I think that kind of got in our head a little bit, like, oh man, no, we have to score right now. This is right. So critical. And we didn't treat every play as, okay, like, let's just do our job right now. Let's do our job. This one play, next play, next play. And that really just hurt us. We shot ourselves in the foot. We came into the locker room and we're like, what are we doing? Right? Like, this isn't who we are as an offense. I heard the defense. The defense was like, what are we doing? We're letting up these points. We made this stop. We got to build on that. Special teams. What are we doing? We're supposed to be the best special teams unit in the league right now, when we're having some mishaps. I think we had to wake up, and we know that we can't continue to start games at such a slow pace and keep teams in, you know, you know, start behind the eight ball. But I think we just had a wake up call at halftime, and some guys spoke up and, you know, said that we needed to, you know, get our crap together, for lack of better words, able to come out and like you said, score on every possession. Shouldn't have been up to Evan, but I kind of like seeing him out there, I guess. So I let him kick the game winner.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, when you look at it, like you said, the Jacksonville Jaguars, okay, they didn't win the they were up 9 against the Arizona Cardinals and lose the football game. Up 14 against the Cincinnati Bengals, lose the football game. Two good football teams that they're in games with in the second half. For the second time this year, in two of the three wins, you've had a 14-point deficit that you guys have overcome and won. How big is that? That it didn't just happen once, it happened twice. Now, you don't want it to be a routine every week, but the fact that you guys can do that, what kind of confidence does that build for you?
It's huge. It means that, you know, we're never out of a football game. And I got the question yesterday, okay, so if the defense doesn't stop them on that fourth down going into halftime, are you pretty much chalking that up as a L? No, right. No shot. Right. You know, because again, we come out of halftime and we score every possession. So, it shows that we know what we're capable of. It shows that, you know, if we start the way that we want to start, that then we won't be in that, we shouldn't be in that position to begin with, and we can complete a full game and we can score as many points as we want to at that point, because we're doing what we know we can. But it's huge. Winning in this league is never easy. Winning a close game is usually how it's going to wind up and turn out. And you know, being behind the eight ball early and winning a close game, that's even harder. So the fact that we're able to do that, and we know we can do that, is huge going into the rest of the season, because no matter what the, you know, adversity, or if you want to call it adversity on the football field, then whenever that comes, we know that we're good, because we can score when we want to, as long as we're, you know, on our P's and Q's.
Paul Brown had a great statement, even many great statements, but my first head coach with the Bengals, legendary Paul Brown, said, "Gentlemen, winning makes believers of us all." It's like, that's a few words, big meaning there in those few words, and there's no two ways about it. There were no turnovers in the football game. Both teams took care of the ball, but Jacksonville had the drive that did not end in a kick, punt, extra point, or field goal, the fourth down stop right before the half. You guys win the toss and you defer. So you have already this year, and done many times, score in your last possession, then come back out and score to start the third quarter. Didn't score, but stopped them from scoring, and then you're able to come out and score. So kind of the same sort of momentum builder like that. How big was that fourth down stop?
It's a 14-point swing, if you think about it. 13, 14-point swing, pinning the PATs. But it's huge. I mean, that gave our defense momentum for sure, and then that gave the offense some confidence. Because, you know, we feed off each other, which is why it's so fun playing for this team right now, with this culture, with this energy that we have, because we truly do feed off of each other. The defense makes a stop, offense is energized, we're ready to go. Offense goes down and score, defense is like, all right, hey, it's our time to make a stop again, get the offense the ball back so they can score again. So it's awesome to see how much we play off of one another, how much our energy and the plays that we make. I mean, you see guys getting excited. Logan scoring or getting two interceptions, like, I'm pumped up. I'm going crazy on the sideline for Logan, because I know, you know, the work that he's put in. He's my brother. We were in here all the time, you know, you're just talking crap to each other. You know, that's I call him Dash from The Incredibles. He looks like Dash to me.
That's awesome. That's great.
He went from Incredible Boy, from like the little evil villain, to Dash after those two interceptions. You know, it's huge, and it's awesome to also know, you know, when the offense is struggling, the defense is going to make a play, and when the defense is struggling, you know, they look to us to continue to score points until they get it together. So yeah, it's fun. I'll say that. I don't know if you can tell or not, but I'm having a lot of fun right now.
Oh, there's no doubt. Okay, so the final phase, special teams, the offense, defense, special teams, and complimentary football, all of it playing off each other. Rookie kicker McPherson, he's had two home games with the Bengals. He's won both at the gun, literally, as the gun goes off. His field goal is going through the uprights. This guy, I mean, I was in shock. I think the whole stadium was in shock. Were you guys in shock when he missed the 43-yarder? I mean, I know kickers are going to miss, but I'm thinking, come on, this guy's so special. But it does happen. But he comes right back, starts kicking some extra points, gets back in the groove, and kicks the game winner. How big was it to experience both home games win at the gun like that?
Yeah, I will say I was incredibly shocked that he missed because he's I've never been as confident in anybody than I have been in him kicking a ball because he's that good. So I was a little surprised, but again, he comes back out. I didn't even think about the miss. I was like, oh well, we won again. Like this is that's gonna happen. No, I'm impressed with him. I love messing with him as well. Specialists are fun for me. Specialists are awesome. That's an awesome position, right? Because until something bad happens right. or something really good happens, you don't even consider them. You don't even think about them. You don't think about Clark Harris at all unless it's a bad snap, right? Yep. So it's fun to hang out and mess with those guys. But I mean, Evan, that's what he does. I mean, he there's not a doubt in my mind that when he's on the field in a pressure situation. At home, away, whatever it is, with 4 seconds left, 2 seconds left, 1 second left, he's going to bang it through the uprights and get us the win when his number's called. So I couldn't be happier for him either, just because, you know, the way he's embraced and the way we love up on him after practices and after games is well-deserved.
So you beat Pittsburgh on the road, division opponent on the road, and now you win this football game. You're 3-1. You're 1-0 in the division. Right now, you're in first place all by yourself with that three wins, that 3-1 record. You face adversity with the short week, but you guys work your way through it. You win the football game. Now you get the payoff of a mini bye, and Zach gives you 3 days off to get your minds and bodies right. In come the Green Bay Packers. What are you going to do during your little break here, CJ? And what do you think about the Green Bay Packers? I know you haven't had time to study them much, but I know you're a football fan and a football IQ guy. Maybe your early thoughts on the Packers.
Yeah, during this little mini bye, I'm just going to chill in Cincinnati. I know the tight ends are here, so we're going to go to a nice little dinner at Walt's. It's my favorite nice. Place. Favorite nice. Place here. I'm just gonna hang out. I'm gonna walk the pup, come into the stadium a few times, just see some of the guys. I know some of the guys that are nicked up; they have to get treatment. So I just want to be here with them because I know a lot of the guys are gonna be out of the stadium, just getting their mind off of things. So that's pretty much my plan: hang out at the house, walk the pup, come in here a little bit, and eat some good food. As far as the Packers, I am a fan. I'm a big fan of Aaron Rodgers and who he is as a competitor. I'm close with their tight end, Robbie T. Mm-hmm. I think he's a really good player and a good tight end. And offensively, we know that I know what they can do. I know our defense knows what they can do, and we're gonna have a good scheme for them. And defensively, you know, they fly around out there. Again, we're gonna have to go against some pretty good DNs this upcoming week, but we're up for the challenge. I'm excited to be able to sit back and watch some Sunday football without the pressures of playing in the game. So I'll get to watch their game, which will be nice and insightful as to, you know, what they do and who they are as a defense and you know, kind of the schemes that they have in the red zone or middle of the field, backed up, whatever, which will be nice. It's always, from my perspective, it's always good to watch, which is why I love, you know, being able to watch film with Coach Casey, is because I'm not worried about pressing a button or rewinding or doing this and that. It's literally I get to just sit down and just watch ball. So I'm excited to be able to do that and watch them and hopefully get a little insight as to what they have planned for us.
And finally, injuries are always a factor in the National Football League, and the secondary was nicked up, and there's no question about that. you're down two players like Awuzie and Bates. That's significant. I mean, those are two ballers right there. And the depth showed up. Guys stepped up. Guys held down the fort. But now you get that extra time for guys to heal up. And who knows, maybe if it were a normal Sunday, they might have been able to play rather than the short week Thursday. But, you got the cards that are dealt to you. You got to play them. And now you get time, though, to maybe get everybody all hands on deck, even more so for the Green Bay Packers. So it all comes as you're sitting 3-1, it all comes into place in an opportune fashion for you, no doubt about it.
Yeah, 100%. And again, we trust in everyone, and that's offensively and defensively. So we know when there's an injury that the next person's going to step up and do what needs to be done. And this week, like you said, it was Cheeto and Jesse, and we put B. Will back there at safety, and which then, I have the most respect for Darren. He's having to deal with a lot of different things. When an injury or something happens in the game, he's the first one that has to know, because it affects everything on special teams.
Yep.
And with Jesse, B. Will is one of the best returners in the NFL. And so his role on special teams got, just completely wiped out, and yep. other yep. players had to step in that, in those phases. And we got to watch B. Will show what he can do at safety, and we got to see Trey Waynes back, and that was awesome for me, because again, another player who's coming off of an injury, and getting to see him play was awesome. But yeah, now we have this mini bye where people can come in, make sure their bodies are where they need to be to finish off the rest of the year, hopefully. And just focusing on this game, it's huge to be able to have, to be able to come out Thursday, short week, with a win, and hopefully have the guys that we need back by next Sunday.
Well, I'll tell you what, really appreciate you carving time on a day after a game, a night game, a late night game, and here it is on Friday morning, and CJ Uzama is visiting with us. You're a class act, and I'll tell you, you've big impact on this organization, on the field, off the field, in the locker room, you name it, anywhere around town. You represent the Cincinnati Bengals in a way that I know they're very, very appreciative of, and they're very, very proud of. And nothing but good luck to you, because you certainly have earned it. You deserve it. And I hope this football team continues on the right track and avoids major injury, and see what happens. Let it all go. Let it all ride. Play it one week at a time, my man. Every week, it's a one-game season, 17 games in the season, and see how many 1-0s you can get, right?
Exactly. That's how you got to approach it.
CJ, can't thank you enough. Take care of yourself. Take care of your dog. Walk the dog. Get a little healthy. Have a good week.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Hi, Dave Lapham here. Have you heard about In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, presented by First Star Logistics? Catch new episodes from the world of sports and broadcasting. Search for In the Trenches with Dave Lapham on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.